Thanks to the cloudless skies above the Atacama Desert, Chile is home to 70% of global astronomy investment. Three of the world's next generation of billion-dollar telescopes are coming to Chile, according to officials, and Amazon.com is looking upwards too, hoping Chile will use its cloud services to store a galaxy of new digital data. It could prove fertile ground for Amazon to develop new AI tools.
It's the most powerful storm to hit Japan for 25 years. Six people dead, at least 90 reported injured, and more than a million people warned to evacuate. Typhoon Jebi battered West Japan on Tuesday, turning over cars and bringing down buildings. In some areas, tides were the highest since a typhoon in 1961.
Amazon on Tuesday hit a market milestone, a $1 trillion valuation. It comes only a month after Apple became the first U.S. company to cross that threshold, and it might not be long before Amazon overtakes Apple to become the most valuable public company in the U.S. Amazon briefly touched $2,050.27 Tuesday to clinch the $1 trillion valuation, but slid back a bit.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's September 5th. And it's 5:10 in the morning. Thanks for being here with us for another business day and another edition of The Opening Bell. Lots to cover this morning, including some intel from the overnight world of business. And a little bit later in the program, Michael Gelfman will be here from Dare Mighty Things. He's the founder of that organization and that event, and he'll be on at about 5:40 this morning to talk about this year's event. And also coming up, we'll bring in Doug Roth, who's going to be in our first segment this morning from Playground Hospitality. Doug is our restaurant and food expert, and we're going to be talking to him about what's hot in the restaurant scene in Chicago. But first, let's begin with the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Asian stocks sank today after Wall Street declined on losses for tech and healthcare companies. Looking at the market big board this morning in Asia, the Dow, Asian Dow down more than 1.5%, the Nikkei off 0.5%, down 116 points, the Hang Seng off nearly 729 points, that's more than 2.5%. The Shanghai off about 46 points, that's down about 1.5%. In Europe, markets are generally weak as well. London lower, the DAX in Germany lower by about 1%, and the CAC in France off more than 1.25%, down about 65 points. And here in the U.S., markets look like they'll be weak at the open on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures are down 113 points, almost 0.5%. Same story for the NASDAQ, down about 32 points, almost 0.5%. And the S&P futures down about 1/3. Oil is trading at $68.74 a barrel, which is down about $1.13. A couple of stories before we begin this morning. First, insurance giant State Farm yesterday reached a $250 million preliminary settlement in a federal class action lawsuit claiming the company funneled money to the campaign of an Illinois Supreme Court candidate. The lawsuit was filed in the federal court in East St. Louis, alleging the Bloomington, Illinois-based State Farm secretly funneled money to the campaign of State Supreme Court Justice Lloyd Carmeier while he was a candidate for the High Court in 2004. In the 2005 case of Avery versus State Farm, Carmeier cast the deciding vote to reverse a $1.06 billion judgment against State Farm in 1999 for its use of aftermarket car parts in repairs. Two of the top social media companies are defending their efforts to root out foreign actors who want to damage the U.S. ahead of the midterm elections. Twitter CEO and Facebook's number two executive will appear this morning before the Senate Intelligence Committee to further discuss foreign interference. In prepared remarks, Sheryl Sandberg says Facebook is addressing the problems but remains slow in spotting it. In a separate hearing before House Committee, Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey is expected to face Republicans who claim Twitter shows evidence of bias against conservatives, which Twitter has strongly denied. In prepared remarks, Dorsey says Twitter does not use political ideology to make decisions. And a study out of the UK says if they could vote again, most residents of the UK would vote against Brexit in a second referendum. The reason for the change of heart is a growing fear among previously pro-Brexit voters that leaving the EU will damage the economy. The report from Nets and a leading social research institute out with that study over the last 24 hours. We begin front and center this morning with Doug Roth. He's the founder and CEO of Playground Hospitality. Lots of restaurant news and food news this morning. Doug, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Thanks, Steve. It's great to see you. It's been a long time.
It has been. Summer looks like it's treating you well. You're all tan and fit and rested, it looks, so you must be having a good summer.
It's been a great summer. I can't complain. After June, it's been a walk in the park.
We love having you in because you're sort of our touchstone for the restaurant business and trends in food. Let's start there. What's trending right now in Chicago? What's everybody talking about?
I would have to say that food halls are still the number one player. I've had an opportunity to go to all of them in the city, and I have to say the one that really resonates with me is Revival. It's located at about 125 South Clark. It is so great. It's got everything from aloha poke to smoke if you want barbecue. It really feels cool to be in there. It's hip. It doesn't matter if you're 20 or 120. You're still going to find something to eat, and you're still going to feel it's a great place to be in.
I know we've had conversations in the past about food halls and their popularity. Are you still on the side that says that food halls are going to be growing even more than they are now?
True. We've talked about it before. I see it as a wave. What's happening, in addition to urban centers, you're also seeing it in shopping centers today. I know that some of the major players like General Growth, you also have Simon, are also looking at food halls as a means of attracting people back into the shopping centers. As you know, bricks and mortar in some of these centers have gone away, so there's a need now to attract people back, and one way to do it is through food, actually.
Revival is one of those places that really, that's a destination of itself, isn't it? People go there just to eat.
Oh, totally.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know, you're in a high-density urban environment. That's where they're going to do great. And they originally started in Europe, London being one spot, Harrods. I think we've talked about before, the fabulous department store was known and is known as having probably one of the best food halls, and they've made their way over to our side of the continent. So I can't speak more to some of the places that I've seen throughout the country as well, everything from San Francisco and Denver and New York. In fact, they have way more food halls in smaller cities than we have, so there's still room here.
And for listeners who may be just popping into our conversation now and hearing us for the first time, what's the difference between a food hall and a food court?
Well, I think you have to say is that a food hall has individual entrepreneurs who are providing their specific noted product to the public. They are renting those specific areas that might be between 600 and 700 feet that are doing signature items that are possibly either restaurants in a local and have craves like smoke. I mean, I can't tell you how many people tell me that that's their favorite barbecue place. Mm-hmm. Whereas you go into a food court and it's usually an established McDonald's or Subway or one of the QSRs, as we call it, quick service restaurants, that really don't have that identity. These are restaurants with their own identity.
If you had to predict, where would you say is a ripe spot for a food hall to open up in the city or the suburbs?
I would have to say the West Loop still mm-hmm. needs one. I would say South Loop, even further south than where Revival is, would do well. I think even Evanston could support one as well. So places like that, but I like the idea of using and repurposing like old warehouses or older buildings to give it character. Some of the newer ones feel new.
Mm-hmm. This is a good segue into what the hottest place is to eat right now in Chicago. What's the hottest restaurant, would you say?
I got to say that Lettuce has once again kicked it out of the stadium. They have a restaurant called Abba, which is in the West Loop. It's on top of their latest Beatrix. It's on Fulton, and it's Mediterranean. It's the same chef that they have locally here doing Iba, and it is just a gorgeous spot. You go upstairs, There is a tremendous outdoor patio. There's also, in addition to that, there is a fabulous menu that really attracts everyone's taste buds. The bad news is probably by the time that you or I can get a table, it's going to be probably Christmas time at best. So yeah. If there's a way of just getting to the bar, there's a lot of private party and event space there as well. I had a tour recently. That's the word on the street is that it is top notch.
When you say Mediterranean, what give us a sense of what they have on the menu?
Well, the chef being from that part of the world, more specifically Israel, you're going to see items, for instance, more couscous-oriented, items that are going to be lighter in nature, more healthful, and there'll be more fish items on the menu as well, and have a real good healthful approach.
You have told us repeatedly it's location, location, location. That's a good location for a restaurant, isn't it?
Well, what's happened is that there's been a fabulous metamorphosis that's taken place, both on Randolph, as we know, and also now on Fulton. And you have hotels that are going in that are providing critical mass. You have apartment buildings that are going in. You have retail. So when you have the combination of all three of those, that's going to drive traffic to restaurants and vice versa. So it's really something that's happened over probably, what, last 10, 20 years or so, where that area has grown. And as we know, the rents there have also grown substantially as well.
Mm-hmm. ABBA, A-B-A. Is that
ABA.
All right.
Exactly.
We'll put that on the list, and we'll tell them that you sent us, and maybe that'll get us to the table faster.
I wouldn't do that.
No, right.
I don't think the chances are too great.
Let's talk about a couple of other trends here, Doug, because you brought in today a couple of cold brews. This is something I haven't tried yet, but it's the new thing in coffee that's catching on. And soon we're going to have this giant coffee place, Starbucks place on Michigan Avenue. It's here to stay, isn't it?
More than here to stay. It's a trend, and some of these trends end up fizzling out. What's happened, which is interesting, is that cold brew, which is basically coffee that's almost steamed, steamed, but more marinated almost for over 12 hours in order to get some of the acidity out, but also to get some of the bitterness as well. And what it's doing too is that it's moving towards more of a healthful alternative to, for instance, soft drinks. Mm. And as a result, the product itself has grown 80%. Over the last couple of years in popularity, while coffee or hot coffee has dropped about 2-3%. So, yes, it's definitely here to stay, again, being perceived as more of a healthful alternative.
Coca-Cola last week announced that they're buying a company called Costa. It's a coffee company, a pretty popular coffee company overseas. We could see Coca-Cola products on the shelf that are coffee-based. That seems kind of cool.
I think it's a smart move.
Yeah,
I think it's where obviously the soft drink companies are seeing a decline, especially again with those millennials, that you need to find something obviously that's going to replace that. People want to drink something, and they want to drink caffeine, and so let's find ways in order to do that. But again, with a more thoughtful approach.
Do you think that we here in Chicago are going to have enough space for this in terms of? When Starbucks opens this big place in the old Crate and Barrel building, that's a huge space. Do you think that's going to be too much space for coffee or not enough?
Well, actually, I have a little inside information on
okay.
that. The fact is that particular location is being looked upon as sort of a tourist-driven opportunity for them. And so I know for the fact that they've been only looking a couple blocks away at a Starbucks Reserve location, which would be more oriented towards residents who live in the Gold Coast area. So I think the fact is that what they're doing is they're segmenting right now how they approach their coffee business. And that could be for locals, could be for tourists, it could be for both. But I think that the one that's going to be on Michigan Avenue more specifically is looking towards making it a world flagship, but yet again, not necessarily for locals as readily.
Well, this is why we bring you in. You always come with inside information. You've also come with something today that I have to admit I'm a little hesitant to talk about. Drone delivery of food. I know it's probably coming, but I just can't wrap my head around it. Why do you think this is going to be a big deal?
Well, I think for a couple reasons. One is, as you look from the operator standpoint, that it's very inexpensive to operate. So from a labor standpoint, it's a great means of doing, obviously, delivery. It's also very quick. I can't tell you how many times that over periods of days that you feel that you wait for your food from a delivery company. The other is the fact that it is something that can be done very quickly without necessarily having to interact with anyone. You just basically have the food dropped, almost like the Coast Guard would drop a basket in the water.
Sure.
And it's in your backyard, and you run out and get it in your pajamas, and then you run back in. So I can't tell you it's happening next week, but I do see enough material that's out there today that obviously in other app type of activities are where our industry is headed.
Is there a company that's sort of spearheading or leading the charge on this that you know of? Any stories that you've heard of, like the company that might come out on?
There's one out of Israel that I've heard that, again, Israel being mentioned, but I have heard that Israel has a company that they are trying to look to the world to be the player.
What else do you like? I know in addition to cold brews, a lot of people are eating chicken sandwiches. Whether they're fried chicken sandwiches or other chicken sandwiches, chicken seems to be a hot thing right now.
True. Again, I think there's a perception that it's more healthful, but I think also in addition to that, too, that it's a good price point and there can be so many different variations on it. There's Peri Peri, which is out of South Africa, down on Michigan Avenue. They're, I think, have 2,400 locations just alone in Europe, and I know that they're moving very, very heavily here in the States. So that has a little bit of a hot flavored taste to it, I guess. You also have chicken that's out of Nashville. You have chicken that's fried chicken that's out of different places in the South that have coming to Chicago, other places that are really coming in and doing some levels with waffles, but I see that sort of moving away. I think that trend is sort of tapering a little bit and that people are just going towards chicken sandwiches as alternatives. You can go to Shake Shack now and get their fried chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
So it's obviously looking for ways of giving more options to people without necessarily causing a tremendous amount of headaches for the kitchen.
Chick-fil-A is another one I think a lot of people
a great example.
Yeah. There's another note on this because we kind of compare notes before you come in, and it just says pickles here. What does pickles mean?
Well, one area that has gotten popular as well, and I love them, is deep-fried pickles. And pickles are being used in so many different aspects at this point, in salads, they're being used in entrees. I've even seen pickle ice cream. So I just thought I'd throw that one in as another trend. I can't say the pickles a year from now we'll be talking about again, but certainly the cucumber business should be taking off this year because pickles are being used a lot.
You've been to a state fair, haven't you? You've had a deep-fried pickle this summer. Is that it?
I've just had them locally here at restaurants. But if you ask me to go to a state fair, I love them. Let's go.
Yeah. Doug, always good chatting with you. Thanks for all the insight, and you made me hungry now. Let's go eat.
You bet.
Doug Roth is the president and founder of Playground Hospitality at playgroundhospitality.com. Doug, family restaurant, third-generation restaurateur in Chicago. Names like Bistro 100, Black Hawk Lodge, and others with us regularly to talk about restaurants. We'll have more of our conversation with Doug after the bell, and you can find that in the podcast of our program a little bit later this morning at WGNradio.com. It is 5:30. This is the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. To help prepare for new transportation methods like electric scooters and driverless cars, the city of Chicago has brought on former U.S. Department of Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood to head a new transit task force. The group will be tasked with making recommendations on how best to incorporate the new technologies in the city. And Chicago-based CareerBuilder has a new CEO. The recruitment platform announced that it's promoted Irina Novoselsky, its president and COO, to the role of chief executive. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Wednesday edition of The Opening Bell. Our next guest is a returning guest to The Opening Bell because Dare Mighty Things, the event, is coming back to Chicago. October 29th is the date of that. Michael Gelfman is here. He's the founder and CEO, I guess we will call you, or just the founder of Dare Mighty Things. Michael, good morning. Welcome back to The Opening Bell. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
October 29th. Tell us about what you have planned for this year.
So October 29th at the Symphony Center, super excited to be back in Chicago. Last year was amazing. And we've got people from Forbes, Hyperloop, NASA, XPRIZE, people building amazing stuff with like it's called the 10,000 year clock by one of Jeff Bezos' projects. And so it's really a symbol for humanity. A lot of these things are big picture ideas to get people thinking about, you know, how they can to take on challenges of their own. So super excited to be back. Amazing speakers, amazing city. And thank you for having me.
Yeah. I love one of the slogans you have going right now in your promotions of all of this. How do you get people to do things they thought weren't possible? That's huge.
I mean, the purpose is to inspire people.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I think about like any entrepreneur that's done anything, any big idea, it's really a mindset. And when you can think big about the challenges that we can take on as humans, you know, it makes everything that you're trying to do seem that much easier. And our whole reason for existing is to inspire people. And the way you do that is to show people what's possible through the stories of these people who've created these incredible ideas and take on challenges. So those are lessons that you can learn from them to apply to your own life.
You mentioned the Hyperloop project. This is one of my favorite ideas, right? Imagine if you could not only travel like from here to O'Hare in like a couple minutes, but imagine if you could travel from coast to coast, you know, very quickly. This seems to be like one of those great ideas that could revolutionize the world, right?
You know, it's to me, it's also one of the most exciting, because when I think about travel, it, you know, it could allow people to live in less dense areas for cheaper and commute into large cities, you know, when you have, you know, housing prices and stuff like that in dense urban areas. You know, what if things would like that would allow people to live on remote areas and travel in very easily without 2-hour, 3-hour commutes in big cities? So
yeah, and it's one of those things too where I think a lot of people, you know, sitting in traffic probably right now would say, yeah, I'd like to get into work a couple of minutes early. You're wearing your NASA t-shirt today. NASA is one of my favorite groups as well.
Yep.
You have some folks from NASA that are going to be there this year and some other places too. How tell us about putting the idea in somebody's head. I'm sure you've heard firsthand stories about how this has triggered somebody to do something mighty. Give us a sense of one of the stories, if you could, about how inspiration has happened in the real world in front of you.
I mean, it's tough to quantify because I don't know all of the stories. We just want as much surface area as possible to inspire people. And so, you know, if it leads to insights that leads people to create new products and launch new companies, awesome. You know, one of the most inspiring stories, and I kind of told you about this yesterday before, you know, I wanted to kind of talk about this, was the origins of Dare Mighty Things, really. This is the amazing thing that you actually won't believe. This actually happened, like, after we talked last year. So one of the most amazing parts is, you know, when you think about Dare Mighty Things, it's part of this Teddy Roosevelt quote, right? And when I rebranded this conference and moved it to Chicago last year, it used to be named something else, but that name didn't inspire people. So I took so much time to really think about what the conference meant. And I was like, well, this quote inspires me. It's the NASA motto. Could it actually be named? Can you name a conference like after a quote? Like, yeah. Is that even possible? And I was like, you know what? Like, that's what it means. Like, I'm going to go with it. So we did it. We moved it here. And I was sitting at the speaker dinner with one of the speakers from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory for NASA. And he told me, like, he's like, I did some research into the origins of this quote from Teddy Roosevelt. It's from the speech that he gave called The Strenuous Life. And he actually gave that speech in Chicago in 1899 when he was running for president. Oh, nice. But that's not the most amazing part. The most amazing part is that he couldn't find the exact place where Teddy Roosevelt gave that speech, right? He had to look on, like, in the Chicago Tribune archives. And what he found was that Teddy Roosevelt gave that speech where he uttered those words in the Auditorium Theater, which was the place where I selected to have it last year.
Wow.
So what are the chances of creating this amazing conference, moving it to Chicago, completely rebranding it into this quote, and being it selecting by accident the, like, the place where he uttered those first words? Like, it's just, it's amazing. And, you know, it just, it fuels that passion. Yeah. to want to inspire more, make more of an impact. So, that's all we're trying to do.
That's an amazing story. It must make you feel like there is something bigger going on than you, right? That something may have already been written in stone before you took over, perhaps?
You know, I want to believe in, you know, free will and that sort of stuff. People a lot talk about how cool it is to be an entrepreneur. It's actually not that cool. It's super hard. And so, you know, but for me, is like, I don't have a choice. Like, I'm pulled by something else. It's almost like a tractor beam. And, you know, I'm just guided by this desire to make an impact and to inspire people. Because when I think about the evolution of what we've done and where we started, you know, if I go back 10 years ago when I started my community and all of this stuff, which led to this conference, and I told myself you would be doing this conference, you know, it'd be in Forbes 8 times, Fast Company, you know, Inc. called it one of the most inspirational tech conferences. Like, I would have said, you're crazy, but I'm here. And so I want that for other people. I want to inspire other people because great things are possible when you believe that they are. The first step to creating anything great is to believe that it's actually possible. And that's what happened. That's how we got to the moon. That's how we sent a rover to Mars. That's how we'll build the Hyperloop. It's all up here. So, and never giving up. So,
right.
Those two things.
Absolutely. So, Michael, for people who have who haven't heard us talk before or haven't heard you, give us a sense of what this event is like. What can people expect when they come?
It's hard to explain, really. That was the thing that was when we moving it to a new city. Could you get sort of that same organic grassroots entrepreneurial community as well as, you know, corporations that are into innovation? And last year was incredible. The amount of people from Chicago and 35 cities that showed up, it was just this massive energy. And that's the thing, is like, everybody knows there's so many conferences, there's so many gatherings and events, but with Dare Mighty Things, it's a call to action. It's about how we should think about the world. And everybody knows why they're there. They're there for that purpose, to be inspired, to think about Dare Mighty Things. And there's that shared purpose creates an energy, and you get, you know, inspired by the speakers. And it's hard to explain. You just have to experience it for yourself.
Is the format sort of like, so you come in and there's a, I don't want to compare it to something else because I don't think it's like anything else, but so, you know, the speaker comes out on stage and there's a one session where the speaker talks, or is it sort of a mashup of different folks, a group on stage?
No, it's only one track, one speaker, and that's really part of the magic, is that, you know, again, when you talk about other conferences, there's all these different sessions and whatever. There's one shared experience across everybody, so nobody has to choose who to go to. You know, we only have 10 speakers, and that's who you get, and it's a mashup of these different ideas, you know, gene editing, artificial intelligence, Hyperloop, NASA, XPRIZE, like all of these different things, and it really gets you to think. It's about a journey for the mind to get you to think about all of the possibilities. So,
give us a sense of when you come in. I like to ask you, you know, how the local community is going. How not even just the local community. How are we doing at coming up with ideas? How you mentioned it's hard being an entrepreneur, but how, if you had to give a grade of how things are going in the ecosphere, what would it be?
I mean, I love the Chicago tech community. I love the entrepreneurial community here. It's so dense, and the people are bursting with ideas. They have an energy, and they want to make things happen. and this is the place to do that. And so, like, I mean, personally, I would give it an A. There's been so much support for what we do, and you know, it means a lot to me. And I just love seeing there's so many entrepreneurs here. There's so many startups creating real revenue, real ideas, real traction. And to me, that's the most exciting part, to see that ecosystem just flourishing, and it can only get bigger. And I just think, like, you know, that's super exciting for Chicago.
What and I hate to put you on the spot, but if you had to pick a one or two, that is there something?
You mean like a startup in Chicago?
No, let me ask you, what's inspiring you right now? I know obviously you've got this planning going on for the conference, but are any of these companies, any of these entrepreneurs inspiring you right now?
You mean in Chicago?
Or anywhere, yeah.
You know, there's so many things out there. To me, I really just think about space travel or, you know, like the Hyperloop. Those are the things that really get me thinking big. You know, there's so many good local companies that are startups that are building and flourishing in this market as well as globally. It's really hard to pick one, but, you know, there's so many great entrepreneurs here.
Yeah.
So Scott Catoon.
Right.
He's great guy.
Give a shout out to Scott. We love Scott here.
We do. He's a great guy.
He is. So how do we attend Dare Mighty Things? Where do we get tickets? More information?
Yeah. So daremightythings.co is the website. There's all kinds of, you know, passes available. Really what we look for is corporations and startups who want to bring their team and inspire their whole team. So, you know, we got tons of people coming from the engineering team, from Groupon and Bosch and Ulta and all kinds of companies. And so that's really where we focus, is sort of like big groups of engineers, creatives, developers, etc. And daremightythings.co is the website, October 29th. At the Symphony Center.
All right, Michael. Well, best of luck this year, and thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Michael Gelfman is the founder of Dare Mighty Things. Again, daremightythings.co, October 29th. Put it on your calendar.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures pointing toward a weak open on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures down 93 points. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. I want to begin this morning's report talking not about agriculture, but about a friend by the name of Paul Harvey. Had Paul Harvey been alive, he would have celebrated his 100th birthday this week. But in honor of that episode, Paul Harvey Jr. and other members of the family threw a 100th birthday commemoration party at the Drake Hotel last night. It was a beautiful evening of tribute and entertainment, and Paul's favorite music? A country band from New Mexico, and they were there to perform last night. We'll talk more about this later today and later in the week as well. As far as the marketplace yesterday and the livestock futures, a green screen with the December lean hog contract gaining $1.92 a hundredweight, the October live cattle contract up $1.17, and the September feeder cattle contract up $2.20. Mixed grain trade yesterday, the September wheat contract down 16¼ cents a bushel, September corn up 4¼, new crop December up 3½, and soybeans September down 1¼, new crop November up 0.25 cents. Today, opening day at the Sandwich Fair at Sandwich, Illinois. Max will be there on stage at noon. I'll be there tomorrow on stage at noon. Sandwich Fair goes through Sunday. And Saturday, it's off to Champaign-Urbana, the U of I Salute to Agriculture and Food Day. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Wednesday, September the 5th. Not a lot on the calendar today. We will get a look at weekly mortgage applications from the Mortgage Bankers Association, report on international trade, the Red Book due out today. Lots of Fed speakers out there as well, including John Williams and Rafael Bostic and Anil Kashkari as well. Today, earnings from DocuSign and Vera Bradley, Twitter and Facebook executives testified before the Senate Intelligence Committee. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, September the 5th.